Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and bust out the Frankfurters. It's time to go to the ballpark. Grab a Dodger or a bagel dog, maybe a Polish or Seattle style, Portillo's or Hebrew National. Anyway, just call me Nathan Oscar Myers Sabret Applegate and tell Trader Joe's he's my honey bun. Joining us today are the usual questionable sandwiches, including Kevin, Chicago style Jaeger.
Okay, yeah, Chicago, that's fine. Chicago.
Our in a blanket game master, an unofficial babysitter for the hour.
I am often in a blanket.
And with us today is someone you may have seen on the tour of Mean Girls as Gretchen Wiener.
I was like, I have no idea where this is going. Incredible. Great.
And Wicked, or in New York and Pacific Overtures and Big River, among other things. If not, you've definitely seen her on one of your favorite TV shows. Let's give a big Broadway welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Megan Masako Haley.
Hi.
Y'all ready for this?
Welcome.
I have no idea.
No one's ready.
That's amazing. I had no idea where you were going with that, with the wieners. Like,
so I figured, like, we've done a Mean Girls intro. We've done a Wicked intro. And, like, I just want to do something, and that's what I landed on. I don't know.
I was okay with it.
But thank you so much for joining us. We're so happy to have you here. But before we start with anything, what are you drinking?
I've got a Waterloo watermelon sparkling water.
Love a water.
Awesome. That was three waters in one beverage.
So I also have a sparkling beverage. I have the black cherry polar, but I poured tequila into it.
Incredible. Love that.
Yes. Kevin.
I'm about to pour myself a glass of Pinot Grigio.
Ooh, nice.
Ooh, a deviation.
Yeah, I just decided I wanted white now.
I also wanted white wine today, and I was inspired by November Christine to have a buttery dark horse Chardonnay.
Ooh.
Love it. Awesome. So, thank you so much for joining us. And let's just dig right into it. What's your favorite musical?
Dig right in.
What? Okay. I think probably my favorite musical and the musical that changed my life, In the Heights.
Cool. Did you see it on Broadway? Did you just listen to the cast album?
I saw it on Broadway when I was in high school, and I didn't know anything going into it. And I left just like a completely different person and like dedicated to doing this for the rest of my life. So I probably listened to it. I burned copies of it for all my best friends when I got home. I like really tried to spread the word hard on In the Heights.
Did you grow up around the city? Was that your first Broadway show? What's kind of your relationship with like actually going to see Broadway shows?
Oh no, I'm actually from San Jose, California.
Okay.
So basically I went to my
first... very close, like right next door.
Yeah, so really close. I went a lot.
Totally.
I went to New York once when I was like 14 with my family, and we saw, I think my first show was The Lion King.
Yeah, so I think that was my first show too.
Yeah, which of course I was like, this is incredible. I actually have like a recurring dream that I tell people I can be in The Lion King as a swing because I've seen the movie. Like, and then I just like show up. I was like, oh, I don't need rehearsal. Like, I know what it is.
You've seen the movie.
Yeah, because I've seen, anyway. and then I think we saw Spamalot.
Oh,
great. Oh, cool.
So, like, I really loved both of those. And then my mom got drunk at the Children's Theater Gala and, like, won tickets to go to New York for a weekend. That was
my school kid. Love your mom.
So, she's incredible. I was, like, so angry and had such a bad attitude about it, but I'm really glad she made all my dreams happen that I didn't even know I wanted to happen. And then I got to see In the Heights and here I am.
That's so cool. Was there growing up on the West Coast, was there anything that like, you know, was it movie musicals? Was it a tour that really like said like, oh, I'm going to do this? Or was it that In the Heights experience?
My seventh grade, like, did you guys do this in middle school where you got to do like a elective, but you only got to be in the class for like a quarter of the year and then you switch to Spanish. Okay. So my quarter of drama, my teacher put on Wicked because it just come out. So we had to do like a listening exercise. We had to like write how we were feeling about the music.
Sure.
And like the second it started, I was like, this is me. This is everything I've ever wanted. I've never heard anything that's spoken to me more. And then I think the next year San Francisco had a sit down production and I got to see that. And that was actually like a really, really big moment where I was like, this is fantastic. This is so cool. I love this. So I guess, yeah, that's cool. The one.
That's awesome.
And you got to have like a full circle moment with that then.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And then I got to play San Francisco when I was in the tour. So.
Oh, you did. That's great.
Was it crazy?
Yeah. My drama teacher came.
Yes.
Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah. And I did
it.
Like,
you did this.
Yeah. And I went and talked. I just like went and talked to her class. She still teaches middle school drama. And like, I love these kids. And like, that's where I learned to love this was doing really weird in class plays. And like, I remember we had to audition for like the school for like the musical, which was like Sleeping Beauty. And I sang, "When you're a jet, you're a jet." Although, because that was my other favorite musical.
Yeah.
And I got Sleeping Beauty. Okay. So I just
saying. Ooh.
And now that's your audition song. That's your audition song from now on, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was there choreography involved or just like?
Oh, I'm sure there was a lot of like this, like a lot of arms.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
And all of it was a cappella too. It was like just people in the class had, and if you wanted a speaking or singing role, you had to audition, but you didn't have to audition to be in it.
Oh, fun.
I've been in shows
like very low stakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, still.
Everyone's in it, but if you want to speak in front of everybody, prove you can.
Oh, and then also if you were too nervous, you could sing a duet with a friend. And I remember my other favorite audition that I saw, because you had to do it in front of the whole class, was two girls sang together, "Everybody Wants to Be a Cat" for Sleeping Beauty.
So
and it was like, yeah, this is such a good song. That was a good choice.
Like, I don't want to be a cat. Let me tell you about the Jets.
Yeah.
Middle school drama was the best.
I like that.
That's why I'm here too.
You went into the audition with fighting spirit though. You were like, let them know you're in a gang. You're like, wait.
Absolutely.
If I'm in this, I'm in this.
That's so amazing.
So let's skip ahead to Mean Girls. So you were actually on tour when everything stopped, or what city were you in?
I was in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Ooh.
Okay. I guess there were worse places to stop for a hot minute.
Yeah. I mean, it was so fun. We had literally gone to Disney World like 100 times a week before, right? Where like everything was like, oh, there's like this thing happening. And like company managers are like, just wash your hands a lot and like sing happy birthday three times.
Yeah.
Like you wash your hands. We were like, oh, okay, cool. And then I remember like we still had a performance like the day after or the day Broadway closed. And we were like, I feel like we shouldn't be here.
Oh.
And like, honestly, I think that last week, even our audiences were only like half full because all of the season ticket holders were like older people. And they had been like being told already, like,
don't
go out.
Yeah.
It was so eerie and weird. And then I remember like leaving my roommate who played Regina, Mariah Rose Faith. She's incredible. I remember like looking at her and she's like getting into the cab to go to the airport. And I'm just like, see you in a month. But I kind of felt like maybe it would be longer than a month.
Sure, right.
Yeah. We are like almost a year out.
I was going to say, have you seen her?
Yeah, I saw her once masked up this summer. She lives in San Diego. I was in Southern California for a while. So we met for like an outdoor second hangout. But it was crazy to think that like we thought we would see each other again in like a month. And the people were like, oh, maybe it'd be nice to get like vocal rest.
Come back warm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, those first performances back, everyone's gonna be given 120%.
My cords are so clean right now. I can like whisper high C's in the shower. I'm like, this is incredible. I haven't been able to do this in so long.
That's so good.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, we talked a little bit about it, and you may have already answered this, but is there a experience, a theater experience that you've had going to see a show that you may have not loved the show, but like the experience itself kind of was like DNA shifting?
Okay, so the first, I guess the only time I saw Great Comet. I was like sitting in the audience. I had like a seat that was kind of like far back in the regular seats. So like not on stage or anything.
Sure.
And I remember just being like, this is so weird. This is such a strange show. Like I didn't know the music. I don't know the story. And so I feel like it was kind of hard to follow. And I'm like trying to look at the playbill to like figure out like who's
right.
who, like what's happening.
Cause didn't the playbill, remind me, didn't the playbill have like a family tree?
I'm pretty sure it had a family tree. It's like me like trying to like look at
totally. This. Yeah. It's like the first like, season of Game of Thrones. Like, okay.
Absolutely.
Who's who?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I remember just being like, oh, like I really wish I was on the stage. They look like they're having fun. And I was like, kind of left being like, I have no idea what that was, but then the music was haunting me for like many weeks afterwards.
Oh wow.
And I just like kept thinking about parts of it and like replaying like visual scenes of like when they had that like really crazy like rave part. Like mm-hmm. I just like kept going back to my head and I had to like go back and listen to the whole album like five times through. And I was like, okay, I feel like I'm like scratching the surface of the show. And I wish I could have gone back like 10 more times, but it unfortunately had closed by then. But that's a show that I felt like I didn't know if I liked, but then now I'm totally obsessed with.
That's such a good answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. a haunting of a show.
Yeah, it just was like always a great on my shoulder.
Totally, totally. You know where else we can go where things are just like on your shoulders? Oh. Tuesdays in the corner with Kevin.
Kevin's corner. I guess that's better than being like, you know where else people haunt you?
Yeah, exactly.
I was wondering where you were going.
Well, welcome to Kevin's Corner, where I get to do whatever I want with this little segment. And so I've been watching a lot of reality television in the past like few weeks. Like I went through a lot of like a period where I watched more like episodic dramas and things like that. But like we're back to some reality stuff and fluff. So I thought we'd play a fun game where I'm going to tell you a reality show. And you are going to tell me a Broadway or tour, someone you've worked with or a Broadway name who you think like best encapsulates this show. Like the
idea.
Okay,
I'm nervous.
No. And it can even be like, if you don't know the show, you can base it off of what the name is and just like go off of that. So we'll see how this goes. Okay. So the first one is The Bachelor. So who do you think of when you think of like Broadway's Bachelor?
Like who would be on it? The person that's coming to my head right now.
Yeah.
Is, do you know who Allison Bailey is?
Her name is familiar.
She's a Glinda on the Wicked tour.
Sure.
And she was one of my my often roommates when I was on the Wicked tour, and I just feel like she would really thrive on that show. Like she's beautiful and blonde and Southern, and I feel like she'd be like the nice girl.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
So, shout out to Allison Barbie Bailey.
Yes. The next one is Project Runway.
I haven't watched that in years.
Who's a super fashionista?
Oh, Marcus Shane.
Oh.
Do you know him? He like is literally always making gowns out of trash.
Cool.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes.
He puts them on Instagram, right?
Yeah, but he does that like even just not on Instagram, like on backstage.
Oh, really?
I remember he got really mad because the boys in the dressing room like threw away his trash gown that he made during the show because he was a swing. I don't know what he was doing back there, but apparently he made some trash bag dress and they thought it was garbage. Did they think it was garbage or are they just being mean? No one knows. But it was like a whole scandal.
Oh, wow. Mean girls backstage.
Oh, yeah.
Fixer Upper.
Oh, I have an answer.
That's the house one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Where they fix up, they like.
In Waco.
People's houses in Waco. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I give that to Aaron J. Albano because he currently owns their entire Target collection.
Is that those people? Is that those people?
Yes, like Hearth and Home in Target.
Yeah, I
got a new canister.
I'm obsessed with her because she's like half Asian, but then has like this thick Texas accent, which
really
throws me, and I kind of am obsessed with it. And her little quarter Asian kids all have blonde hair.
Oh yeah. My God, it's amazing. No, it really is fantastic.
They're like Texas farmhouse.
Also, Aaron J. Albano and I should have been friends a long time ago because we're from the same hometown.
Mm.
He actually went to my sister's high school. We did the same children's theater, but he's like older than me enough that we like didn't really cross paths.
Oh, we know. He's 100 years old.
You would never guess, though. I know. No one knows. But him and I are now plant
10,
friends.
Age 300.
Truly. Honestly, I was like, I think he might be like 7 or 8 years older than me. Cause I think he was like a cool senior in high school when I was like in seventh grade or something like that. And I remember like seeing shows that he was in
and That's I was so like funny.
With the small children. But we're plant friends now. We met over Zoom this summer, and we haven't looked back. We're, like, very close now.
Oh, I love that. Wait,
plant friends?
Yeah, we talk about plants a lot.
Oh, okay.
We started, buying plants, like, a lot all at once together.
Sure.
Oh, he does have a lot of plants now. He basically told me about cookies. He basically told me about plants.
Yes. He's like, I bought another one. I got a succulent subscription. I bought a grow light. He's like, I crocheted this thing to hang my plant on the wall.
Oh.
Capsulates Fixer Upper.
That's 100% Aaron. Yeah. Master Chef.
Okay, I'm going to say from our tour, Jonalyn Saxer, because she was like the queen of like not eating out all the time, which was very a foreign idea to me.
Sure.
That's hard on
her. She cooked in the hotel?
She like cooked in the hotel, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Which I always thought was really impressive. Like, I don't know if they tasted very good because I was like, I'm still going. But I was always really impressed of like, oh, she's like making real dinners. And she's like, you have to have breakfast, Megan. I'm like, why do I have to have breakfast? She's also like every day, like a beautiful homemade smoothie bowl kind of person.
Sure.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a lot of effort in the morning.
Oh, and she's like, and you have to buy this granola and then you get all your proteins and those are things I don't know.
Great.
America's Next Top Model.
I'm like only thinking of my coworkers, so I'm sure there's other people, but do you all know Niani Feelings? She's in the Mean Girls tour. She is like, first of all, so tall, like I don't know, like 6 feet tall or something. And she's just got like this incredible face. And like, at least when we were on tour, she had like really short cropped hair. Sometimes I just find myself like staring at her. I'm like, what is it like to just have arms and legs that just are so long? And she's also just like lying on the ground with like her leg on the floor, like up here. The sort of situation.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So sometimes I just wonder what it's like.
That's incredible. And this last one is in honor of Brian, The Amazing Race.
Okay. I don't think he knows me, but do you know Nick Spangler?
He's been in every show.
Okay, because he was like the superstar of our children's theater.
Oh, wow.
I remember I went to go like see Miss Saigon at our children's theater. And I was like, wow, that guy's really, really good and very handsome.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like I could be in this play. Yeah, so it makes total sense to me that he has been very successful. He was definitely the superstar.
Yeah, and the man that won The Amazing Race. Yeah.
Truly the perfect answer. The season 13 winner.
Yeah, there he is. We had him on the show while Brian was binging the entire every season, and he hadn't gotten to Nick's episodes yet. So when he got there, Nick literally sent him an email, like his notes of like how things went when they were filming. So he got like the insider view of what it was.
Yeah,
like,
it was amazing. It was amazing.
An amazing race.
I mean, that was basically like all anyone talked about when it was happening at the children's theater. So
really,
I bet
it's like a really big.
I bet
it's a big deal.
That's the credit. So this has been Kevin's Corner.
Cheers. Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. Cheers.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Oh, you did so well. So impressed.
Actually, you know, something we haven't talked about, and we haven't done this in a while, is kind of like, what have you seen? I didn't remember how it goes. What have you seen this week or recently? We didn't talk about, what games and kind of stuff have you done online? Because we did this murder mystery escape room that we never actually talked about yet.
We did.
Okay, so we have to share this. So are you an escape room person?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, actually, it was awesome. Quite fun.
What kind of escape room person are you? Are you, I'm here to have fun with my friends? Or are you here like, I'm here to compete? We're very serious about this and get intense.
This is so weird and specific, but like very intense. I think you should know, like, my Regina and Karen on tour, this is like what we did in every city.
Escape rooms?
Yes. There was this place in Boston called Bodaborg. I'm praying it makes it through this pandemic, because John was like, this is where my 30th birthday will be. It's like this place that has like 40 different like small escape rooms, and you have to like do as many as you can in like 3 hours.
Oh, cool.
What?
And that's she amazing. She went back more than once. I only did it the one time, but We did probably like 5 other escape rooms in the 6 months we were on tour.
That's incredible.
Cool. That's so cool.
We actually got the chance to do like a theatrical, like immersive experience kind of escape room. It was really
cool. On Zoom. And so you're basically like an internet sleuth getting clues. So like one person shares their screen, and as clues come up, you're going to like websites and finding passwords instead of like getting a lock or something. It was pretty like ingenious how they translated it.
And then it's really
also cool. Like, it just felt like Facebook stalking your friends.
Yeah, and it was just it was just us, like it was like the five of us played, and it was in a Zoom call, and then the person from the company is like the sixth person in the Zoom, and like so like their screen they use to show video that like furthers the plot sometimes, or like, and then they're also there, so in the chat they can like give you a hint if you need it.
Like hey, dum-dums, did you look at this? They didn't say it like that, but it felt like that because it was a pretty easy hint.
I mean, are they sponsored? Can you tell me like what the company is? Because
what are they called?
Very interested.
Because there was a sequel also that I kind of think we should do.
Yeah. What were they called?
Sure. They were called. I'm bringing it up here.
I know. I'm pulling it up too. Do.
It was super fun and like.
Call it like the Pinehurst Watch, but that's not right.
Pinewood Resort?
No, it was called, and they take pictures of you too. Like they take screenshots.
Oh yeah.
While you're doing it, which
They send us our screenshots and stuff. So
it's called Plymouth Point. Plymouth Point. that was, they're based in the UK. But it was really.
Someone was
really
up very
fun.
Late leading us through an escape room. Yeah. It was really fun.
But it was like really cool because it was the closest to an actual in-person escape room experience I think that we've ever had.
Yeah. Because the conceit is like you're showing up to the Plymouth Point neighborhood watch meeting.
Oh, nice. Love that.
And then you investigate
things
something.
Things go awry.
You start from a Facebook page and then you go from there.
I love that because I tried to do an escape room on the Zoom where like the guy was just like holding the camera. We still got it, but my poor parents were like so lost, didn't really know how to participate.
Oh, like
me and my brother and sister are like.
Wait, he was in the escape room?
Yeah, it's
like turn left and look at the wall.
Basically, like there was one camera like that, and then a website, and then you could like zoom in on things. But then he was actually there too. It kind of worked. We escaped.
We escaped.
But like my mom and dad were like, I have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, like this was a completely digital game,
intentionally and supposed to be digital. Yes,
exactly. Idea. Like created for that. It was cool. We should do the sequel because there's
a sequel because the first one was super fun and kind of spooky.
Ooh. Yeah, I believe the company that runs it is called Swamp Motel, maybe something like
yeah,
that.
That's like what their box office is, the Swamp Motel.
Yeah, but Plymouth Point, so you should definitely look it up online and check it out. Super
it's
cool,
super fun.
But should we all play a game?
Oh my god,
speaking of that,
absolutely. I have a game called Mean Girls, not to be confused with a musical.
Right.
Oh, yes.
About Mean Girls. But really, it's one of our favorite games of Say When. I have an article pulled up of the 19 best high school movies like Mean Girls. Chick flicks you can't ignore. Okay. And basically, I'll scroll through when it's your turn and stop. And then whatever I land on, you have to tell me how you would turn that into a musical. And I also have all of my Lights of Broadway show cards if you want me to, you know, pull a few cast members out for you.
Sure.
Oh, you know, Liz Calloway and Norm Lewis, the high school stars.
Yeah.
Brian, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I'll go first.
As I'm scrolling, they're like long snippets. Okay, say when.
When?
Juno.
Okay. I'd love a little help from the bag.
From the bag?
Yeah.
I pulled Sideshow, which I feel like does not what I meant. So let's pull the person.
Okay.
Mandy Gonzalez.
Okay. Mandy Gonzalez plays the Jennifer Gardner role of the woman who's looking to adopt.
100%. Yes.
And then whoever plays her husband, and then the next one you pull out plays her husband, the Jason Bateman part, who just kind of like is not into it. And
David Diggs.
Oh my God, that's such a good pairing.
Wow. Yeah. Actually, I'm already obsessed with this.
That's great. And then the mother, and so Juno's mother and father are going to be played by
Oh, the cast of A Little Night Music.
Yeah. Let's
keep going. That makes sense.
So in the movie, it was Allison Janney, right? And
Brandon Uranowitz.
J.K. Simmons.
Uranowitz. I'm gonna swap it. Uranowitz is actually going to play the Jason Bateman part.
Oh, okay.
And I'm gonna move David Diggs into the father role because he's way more fun and supportive, and he probably gets an awesome like "You Can Do This" song at some point.
Totally.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the mother, as once played by Allison Janney, is now being played by.
Still Allison Janney.
Sarah Bareilles.
Love it. She also wrote the music for
Oh my God, Sarah Bareilles should 100% write Juno the musical.
But of course,
she can't just write musicals about people getting unexpectedly pregnant.
No, that's her niche.
Two times is too many times.
Cody has written a musical, so she can do it too.
Totally. Right.
She can't be the pregnant composer. Like,
So Juno is going to be the person playing Juno is going to be an unknown, and this is going to be their kind of debut.
I don't think I have anyone young enough in here.
Yeah, and honestly, with that many quote stars surrounding the Juno character, and then the Michael Cera character in the movie are going to be kind of unknowns. So Sarah Bareilles is writing this show, and that's Juno the musical, and I'm really excited to see that.
It's really good.
Very good. Kevin, would you like a turn?
You should totally get Elliot Page to direct it, and that would be brilliant.
Oh, like, interesting.
Full circle. I'm all
there. Yeah.
Okay, Kevin, ready?
I'm ready.
I feel like
when?
Oh, okay. Easy A.
Oh,
solid good. Movie. So good.
Okay. I've never seen this.
So Easy A is a teenage rom-com retelling of The Scarlet Letter. Mm.
It's on Netflix right now.
I know. I want to watch it.
What you do with Easy A to make it a musical is this is going to be like a Joe Iconis piece.
Okay.
So it's going to be like very like we're going to play into the quirk here, but like still have those like solid like Joe Iconis melodies to like ground the quirk. But what's going to be fun with this is that like randomly like a light will go on on stage, and it happens at different times every performance. And when the light goes on to like blue, the cast has to switch into like actually like the Scarlet Letter. And then when the light switches back, they have to switch back into Easy A, like the contemporary one.
All right, Ars Nova.
But like each night, the cast doesn't know when that's going to happen. So they have to know both shows completely to be able to flip and make it make sense.
An improv game.
Yeah, so it's totally like an improv game musical that happens every night, which I think is funny because it's an Easy A. And then at the end of the show, the audience grades them in an F on how well they did with the transition.
Okay.
Do you want to Kevin? Who's in this?
Yeah, let's cast this show. So the Easy A lead, the Emma Stone character, is going to be played by.
Do you want Madeline Kahn or Celia Keenan-Bolger?
We'll go with Celia Keenan-Bolger. So Celia Keenan-Bolger
will play Bob Fosse involved.
Bob Fosse will posthumously do the choreography.
Great.
Good.
And then I would say that Max Crumb is reprising his role from the film.
Great.
In the musical.
Perfect. Absolutely.
Fantastic.
That's Easy A.
Amazing. Megan, would you like a turn?
Yes, please.
Okay. Ooh, say when.
Okay. When.
Ooh. It's blank.
Okay.
I scrolled to the end.
Oh.
Do you remember this film, Hot Chick?
Yes. I'm trying to remember the details of this, but this is like at a gas station. Rob Schneider becomes like a hot teenage girl.
Yeah, here's
there's a gas station.
The story follows.
You're like, I'm trying to figure out the plot of this, but here are the specific details of the movie.
That was the greatest sentence I've ever heard. At a gas station, Rob Schneider pretends to be a hot girl. Like,
well, would you like to hear the actual synopsis?
Please. Yeah. Also, I think there's one where he turns into animals, and that's not this one.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's...
That's a different Rob Schneider?
Or read the plot. I'll find the other one.
Okay, the story follows Jessica Spencer, a mean-spirited girl who finds herself in the body of Live Maxtone, a gas station robber in his 30s. She must find out what happened last night as well as try to switch back to her body. Along the way, she realizes how mean she has always been to people. That's all.
Incredible.
So you're thinking of, so the other movie is The Animal.
It's just called The Animal.
It's about a man who doesn't have what it takes to fulfill his lifelong dream to become a cop, but his luck changes when he's critically injured in a car accident and a deranged scientist secretly uses animal organs to rebuild him.
These really got made.
The heyday of Rob Schneider.
I just,
wow, 2002.
Rob Schneider's entire career is just like a mind blank. Like you can't, like, it doesn't make any sense on the face of Hollywood that this many movies were got the green light to happen.
Right. I'm like, they paid money to have these made.
Yeah. The Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo movies.
I watched that at the neighbor's house in elementary school.
Yeah.
My mom would never have let us watch that, but we were like, this is so funny.
I mean, okay. He will always, to me, he'll always be the other bellhop in Home Alone 2 Lost in New York with the gum.
Oh,
I remember.
I feel like he's more the guy from Happy Gilmore.
Yeah,
I mean, and all the or Big Daddy
or Big Daddy. Oh,
I was just such an. I don't know what, maybe because I hung out with all the neighbor boys, but we watched every single Adam Sandler movie.
Oh,
so I saw a lot of Rob Schneider.
Me too, with my cousins.
Yeah. Same, like, with
cousins.
You've seen the highlights of Rob Schneider's career.
Yeah, I've seen all the best. All the
and now, which means you're the perfect person to turn into a
so
musical.
Really, I'm the best person for this job.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. How do we get done?
Okay, so let's just cast it. Can you give me a couple? The Rob Schneider and then the hot girl.
Let's just like scroll myself around. Let's see who comes out of the middle. Oh, Oklahoma.
Good.
I shuffled these poorly. How about Daniel Radcliffe?
Fantastic. It seems weird. It seems like a weird choice, but he's an exquisite actor. So yeah. I know he can get gross.
And he's done Broadway musicals.
And he knows how to do an 8-show week.
Yeah.
Exactly. He wants to get back to it.
Absolutely.
You know what? He makes weird enough choices since Harry Potter that, like, I wouldn't put it past him to take on this musical.
Okay, wait. Can we just, like, time out for 1 second? Because on that New York trip where my mom got drunk and we saw In the Heights, the other show we were trying to see was Equus.
Sure.
Just so we could see Naked Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But it was, unfortunately, sold out at the TKTS, and we saw Mary Poppins instead. Very good.
Yeah, but you don't see Naked Harry Potter.
There's no Naked Harry Potter, but we did stage door a little bit after Equus anyway.
Mm. Oh, right. Why not?
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Who's our girl?
I'm trying to find... As they all just appear in me. Who's here? Leia Salonga?
It seems like a weird choice.
Or Kelly O'Hara?
Also bold for a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what?
This is like TW teenager casting.
Yeah, exactly. And we're all in a theater. We're all making believe together. So yeah, let's go with
it's a very socially distanced production.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally. Absolutely. People are going to be far away. They're not going to know.
It's fine.
It's going to be so great. So I guess somehow this
found a team. Laura Dreyfus.
There we go.
There we go. But I feel like she's like so like cool and not hot mean girl.
Maybe she's the friend that is
we're
like.
We're gonna have to give her yellow hair.
Mm.
Oh yeah.
She'll play against type. It'll be a big deal.
Mm-hmm. She's gonna do great.
Yeah, it'll be her opus.
Her opus.
Yeah, because I was gonna say like it's gonna have to be weird and like weirdly legit to showcase Kelly O'Hara well. So it doesn't. People are like thinking it's going to be one thing. They're like, oh, it's going to be like the Mean Girls musical, or you know.
But it's just it's a Gershwin jukebox.
No, it's a Gershwin jukebox.
No. It is a Mean Girls style musical in every other song except for the songs that Kelly O'Hara is in.
Yes. So because it's weird. She's not going to come here and not be showcased well.
No.
She's the inner voice of Daniel Radcliffe, so she can stand ethereally off to the side.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yes, actually, yes. That's it. That's
she and Gary Belonga together and the duets that would come out of the two of them.
Oh, incredible.
Wow. Okay. Someone say when for me?
Sure.
I'll scroll back up because that was the last one.
When?
That was an ad. That
good. Oh, I don't know that film. Oh, but I know this one. What a Girl Wants.
Yes. Amanda Bynes.
Amanda Bynes and Colin Firth. Just.
Maybe I don't know this one.
She like, her mom is like a hippie in New York, and she like sends her to London.
Oh, she doesn't send her. She finds out that she is the daughter of a lord in England that her mom like left unceremoniously. And so she, instead of like going to college.
Oh, that's right. She like sneaks off to London.
Instead of like going to like an internship for the summer, she goes to London to track down her dad.
And she,
so this is like Princess Diaries if Mia Thermopolis was like outgoing and cool.
Correct.
And like went to Genovia.
Okay, cool.
Correct.
Yeah, and then obviously there's like stepsister, like a almost
stepsister.
Yeah, trying to like,
of course.
They're trying to steal her throne, and it's a whole thing.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Okay, perfect. Let's think of who would play Colin Firth. Do I have anyone in here? Oh, well, I see Liz Calloway popping up, so she's gonna play the mom.
Oh, like the evil mom, the good mom.
The good mom that's like in New York, the one that says, I used to watch this movie a lot because I can quote it. Apparently. I was like, you know, the one that says if you have a steady hand and can walk on the beach, you never need a pedicure.
The good mom in that movie was Kelly Preston. So just a cheers to
Kelly Preston. Cheers.
Oh yeah.
Sad day, Kelly Preston.
Oh no. I forgot. Okay.
She was so good in that movie too.
What a great film.
Film.
What else do I see? I see Aaron Tveit, I think, is gonna be like isn't there a boy for her in England?
There's a boy that's like a bad guy boy, and then there's like the good like rocker boy that she like actually gets with.
Right. They're staying at like the same hotel.
Because there's like the pompous, like rich guy boyfriend who thinks he should be her boyfriend. And then there's like the cute, interesting, like dashboard confessional rocker.
Good.
Okay. I just saw Where Did He Go? For that, we have George Salazar.
Oh, yeah.
But I lost him.
Love that choice.
Do that.
Okay, great.
And then.
Who's the Amanda Bynes?
The Amanda Bynes, again, we've got some interesting choices. I don't know that Gwen Verdon is correct. I don't think Nathan Lane is correct.
Well, Nathan Lane could be the Colin Firth father character.
That's true. Or incredible. Could be Dee Wong.
Oh, that could be
or
good
Matthew
too.
Broderick.
That could
wow,
any of
gentlemen.
What about
that could
two
be
Broadway dads.
Two Broadway dads. Oh, wait, sorry. Dee Wong, Colin Firth character. Matthew Broderick, evil stepmom.
There we go. That's it. That's
our 2021
remake.
Love yes.
It. There we go. And then maybe Alex Brightman is her dad. We cut Liz Calloway.
You guys, time out again. Oh. Alex Brightman also did my children's theater.
What?
Yes.
What is in the water in San Jose?
We actually called your children's theater and got a roster before.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
We wanted to make sure we peppered them all in for you.
That's so weird that we've hit so many of them.
Because you should know that I remember he was like the really cool hot guy, and he played Radames and Aida without a shirt on, and we were all like, that seventh grade summer.
And right now, can you picture if they announced that they were doing the Aida the revival and that Alex Brightman was playing Radames?
Oh, I need
now.
I mean, I'd be in for it. I'd go.
I mean, you should. He was incredible.
He's
from what I remember
out of it.
He's such an incredible voice. He's like, Beetlejuice wasn't it was incredible because of his performance, but like, he sings so pretty. Like,
voice is incredible. So good.
Yeah.
Like, his Ryan Scott Oliver, like, stuff is so.
Exactly. Perfect. Me in 2007 on YouTube, just loving Alex Brightman. Oh, goodness. Okay, that was Mean Girls.
Yay.
Hey, good job.
The world team. Needs more. Just kidding.
Well,
Megan, we need thank more you. Of the musical, maybe not more of the type of people.
Yes.
So when it does start up again, definitely check it out as it goes on tour with Megan and her entire reality show cast.
Yes.
But that actually brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you hanging out with us. And hopefully one day we'll be able to record an episode in person.
Yeah,
thank you so much for having me. This is super fun.
Yeah, of course. Before we end, I do want to shout out one of our newest patrons, Christian Ranky. I'll say it again, just in case that was wrong, Christian Rank. Or I'll say it again, if that was wrong, Christian Rankay. Thank
I
you
really
so
hope
much.
It's Rankay. Because that makes me think of Frank Kay. Who is Frank Kay? Oh, that was in... was that Sister Act 2?
Yes,
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
So, Christian, thank you so much for becoming a patron. We really appreciate it. Cheers to you. For all of you, we do have our own Patreon. You should sign up. There's some really cool stuff. We do some really fun stuff every month. And then coming up, we've got some really awesome stuff for you. Not that the stuff before wasn't, but, you know, we keep trying to up ourselves. thank you so much. As I mentioned, go see Mean Girls on tour. So we'll end this with, I can feel every stranger in Paris just waiting to collide. How a heart can pull like a moon as we circle each other, then crashing together, we end up open wide. That is from Amelie, the Tour de France song.
Because we're on tour. Okay.
Yeah, I get it. Anyway, I should have just gone with another hot dog joke.
I was waiting for you to say, like, I see stars or like some kind of.
I know. Thing. No. Well,
always
Megan,
surprising thank, us.
Thank you so much. Where can people find you on social media and all that fun stuff?
I'm at Megan Masako basically everywhere on TikTok and Twitter and Instagram.
Cool.
You're a TikToker?
No. No. But I am there. I'm there.
Well, you can find us at Broadwasted on Twitter and Instagram. You can, of course, join our Facebook group. We do some theater nerdy stuff. You can also find us, as we had mentioned, on Patreon. And then you can, of course, find us anywhere you get podcasts, inclusive of Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Rate and review us there. Five stars, please.
And thank you.
Megan, again, thank you so much for joining us. And as we end every episode, we raise our glass and we say,
Zoo-doo-wop.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No,
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.